Good morning, church. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Our Father, Lord God in heaven, we are indeed thankful for this time, God, you have blessed us with to be able to come together as a church here to worship you this first day of the week, God. We pray, Father, that everything has been done up to this point will continue to be done, God, in a spirit of order, of decency, of scripturalness, God, with the authority that comes only from you, Father, for the approval in what we say and what we do and what we think and our entire being, including, God, each first day of the week. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the church that is here. We pray, God, now as we move into this lesson, God, that we will give heed to this very important lesson, God, simply because it's important, as all things are, God, that comes from your word. We pray, God, that you will help us to realize, though we live in a time where there is much uncertainty, there is much upheaval emotionally, physically, and spiritually, God, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Prince of Peace, the author of peace, God, and that it needs to be our direction and our aim each moment, God, that we have the opportunity to be looking at the spiritual well-being of those not only here in this church and this family, God, but our neighbors and those who are strangers alike, God. We pray, Heavenly Father, your blessings upon this good church and watch over her, Father, as she continues to glorify you in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a very brief, yes, I know, you want to all perk up at that. Wait, Lonnie said something concerning something being very brief. Wait a minute now, I just got to make sure we do an affidavit on this, have him sign it, record it, because Lonnie is really never brief. Let me just suggest this for a couple of moments. Go back and look. If you have your outline, and I'm redoing the outline from last week on the introduction and God's establishment in life on this earth with civil government. If you have a copy, that's fine. There will be some changes made, not changes to the import of the scripture or, as I believe, humbly believe, the scripturalness of such, but perhaps elaborating and explaining things. Just let me give you a couple of quick points to just remember. Civil government is one of three institutions that God created. He created the home and family, the oldest institution in existence. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. He existed then, civil government, and he created the church. The church is the only spiritual institution. She is the youngest of all three of the institutions. Civil government, which God, and I want this to be stressed, God ordained and created civil government. There is some thought among some Christians that if God's people had just simply obeyed God and stayed in fellowship with him, there would have been no need for civil government. Well, let me suggest this, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but God knows the end from the beginning. He's the only one that does know the end from the beginning. Therefore, God simply knew that there would be a need for civil government, that man, including those in fellowship with him, okay, those in fellowship with him, from the garden on, the Israelite children, throughout the periods of the judges and into the prophets and into the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and right now into this great last age we live in, we often call the Christian age, okay? We simply see that people are not really, for the most part, the majority, they're not really interested in being in fellowship with God. Many are deceived in thinking they are. Many have an idea that, you know, I'll get around to it, Lonnie, one of these days. Or, you know what, I really don't believe in God. Or the very, very, just widespread lie that's out there that, you know, hey, we're all going to heaven. We're just, you know, on some different paths going there. Well, there are many paths that go to one place, brothers and sisters, and it's not heaven. All right? There's only one path, if you will, one road that goes to heaven. Many that will take you somewhere else. The other place, of course, we can fill in the blanks. We don't have to think much about it. I'm talking about hell, originally created for the devil and his angels, and for those who have lived from the beginning until Christ comes again, that will not bow down in this life and confess him and submit to his lordship, who will refuse to have a covenant relationship with them, therefore remaining in their sins. I'm not talking about the emotionally, mentally handicapped, nor am I talking about the beautiful, innocent, pure children. I'm not talking about them. Contrary to some of our religions, no little child, no innocent child, no one who has not the emotional, mental faculties to make a decision at that point in their life. And I'm not talking about someone who might have lived a wicked life, then tragically had a brain tumor, and then all of a sudden became something, you know, if you will, emotionally and mentally handicapped. I'm not saying that now. I'm talking about those who were born this way, okay? They belong to God, they're special, and God's going to take care of them. And moms and dads and parents and grandparents, we need to realize that God's looking at us on how we are living and dealing and working with our children and grandchildren, okay? And we need to remember that. But I want us to consider three things real quick again. Besides these institutions, let me just suggest this. They each need to operate and live within an area of authority. Let me suggest the family. The home and family. The family has no business mounting a posse like Marshall Dillon and Festus, getting on a horse and riding downtown in Dayton and going ahead and, if you will, taking out vigilante justice on those who are practicing evil and doing evil in downtown Dayton, okay? The home has no business doing this, okay? The church has no business of the men of this congregation after today's meeting going down and demanding justice from the mayor and the city council of Dayton for something, okay? It is not the work of a church, the church of our Lord, to be involved in such foolishness, okay? And that's exactly what it is, foolishness when you try to go ahead, not in and of itself is it foolishness, but foolishness when you try to go ahead and stick a label that everything that goes on in our lives individually the church can do, she cannot do. She cannot, must not, if we are going to say we love and respect God. The third thing would be the idea that the government, the city government of downtown Dayton, would come in here and say to the men of this congregation, we want to see so-and-so lead singing. We don't want to hear so-and-so. By the way, Sammy did a great job. Bless you, brother. It was great song, sir, leading service today. The city council cannot come down here from Montgomery County, from downtown Dayton, and tell the men of the church here, we don't want to hear this lesson anymore, and we want to see this, and we don't want you starting at 9:30. They have no authority for such a thing, all right? We would just tell them in the nicest way as we could, we'd tell them, would you please be willing to study the Bible with us? Would you be willing to come to services? All right? And then we would say, no, thank you. Okay, they have no authority. They need to be taught these things. We all need to be taught. So what I'm simply saying is these three areas, the family, the church, civil government, have been created by God, the oldest being the family, the youngest being the church, the only spiritual one is the church, okay? And then also these three operate independently and must continue to operate independently. There is no business for the church or these other institutions to cross over. But Lonnie, wait a minute now. What can I do individually as a Christian? There is, and there lies, the great question that we hope to address somewhat on this lesson. All right? Let me suggest the two other things. God has a kingdom. Satan has a kingdom. Matthew 12 certainly teaches that the devil has a kingdom. The devil tempted Jesus with the kingdoms of this world. The devil could not have tempted Jesus, saying that those things were given to him and he could give them to whom he wanted to if they weren't able to already in his possession. Okay? So the devil has a kingdom and God has a kingdom in Christ Jesus. And we need to be aware that we are either subjects of one or the other. Okay? All right? We don't float our little visa and say, well, you know, I've got dual citizenship. There's no such of a thing for the Christian to have dual citizenship when it comes to spiritual affairs. And we need to remember that. I would also suggest to you that we need to also realize just how important it is for you and I to please work diligently to get into our minds that just because we live in this great country, and I mean this, and I said this last week, those of you who heard me last week, I'll say it again. We live in the greatest country on the face of this earth. However, this great country is far from a Christian nation. She's a religious nation, Okay? She bandies about this concept, this intra-denominational concept of Christianity, okay? And we understand what that means. If somebody was to say, if you were to ask somebody, well, what church do you go to? They'd just say they were a Christian, or are you Jewish, or are you a Christian, or are you a Buddhist, or are you Islamic? And they may say, well, I'm a Christian. 99% of the time, unless we knew for sure that they were indeed a Bible Christian, we would understand what that man or woman would be saying. And it would hopefully provoke us into want to bring them into studying the Bible and to show them. But I want us to understand something now. We live in a country, I believe we are truly blessed. That's right. High gas prices or not. Low unemployment numbers. High cost of groceries. We live in a great, wonderful country. Some of us in this room, seated, myself standing before you, we've been to these other countries. We have been to some of these other countries. And I can assure you right now, they are not a pretty sight. Seeing the citizens, if you will, of these countries very often is not a pretty sight. Now, I'm not talking about South Korea or Japan. I'm not talking about West Europe. I'm talking about what we would refer to as our third world countries and some of the countries that are surrounded by areas where you have a totalitarian, military, extremely dictatorial governor or government, rather, running the country. I'm talking about communist China is one of them, and communist Russia is one of them. All right? Now, getting back to this great country of ours, some things have been happening off and on over the last few years concerning the anarchy that we see in the streets, concerning the murder and rape and pillaging and just raising neighborhoods, okay, destroying businesses. These things are sinful. They're sinful. And anyone, whether a private citizen, a law enforcement officer, a governor, a president, whoever is letting things go awry and amok, they need to be held accountable. However, where is the authority for you, and where is the authority for me, again, to go off, if you will, and to form a posse and execute vigilante justice? There is no scriptural authority. I am not talking about, and listen now, I probably will get some heat for this, and that's okay. I've preached this lesson before. I've written articles for some of the church papers on this subject going back years before my boys were even born. This is a very sensitive, personal subject for me, and I will be the first to say, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But I can assure you right now, I know who does. I know who has all the answers, and he's just willing and waiting to help us to come together, reason together, and walk away with an understanding of some things. I will not have the time today to address in depth certain questions that I've been asked, and I am planning on doing this at a future time. I don't know if it would be better in a sermon or it would be better in a class, but I'd like to address certain questions that I've been asked. Can a Christian be in the military? Can he actively be an agent of the civil state and bear arms against a foreign enemy? Now, I'll tell you what I believe, but that's just what Lonnie believes. I believe he can. I sure do. Can a child of God be a law enforcement officer, a policeman? Can he be a public servant? Can he be a fireman? Can he be somebody that works at a prison where there's incarcerated murderers and rapists and thieves and arsonists? I believe the answer is yes to all those questions. But let me suggest this before you pick up any tomatoes or rocks and throw them at me. I learned a long time ago that there are many, many areas that the Christian steps back and realizes certain things that he or she believes must, for the sake of peace and unity, fall under Romans chapter 14 and be considered as matters of personal judgment. Now, here's where we can get in trouble with this. I abhor the idea that we just take everything that brethren disagree on in the churches of Christ and want to go ahead and slam it under Romans 14. Like, pile it all up under Romans 14. No, I don't believe that's why God designed Romans 14 at all. But let me throw out something that may be a little clearer in your minds. What do we do? What do we do? I remember as a young man talking to my dad's older brother who served and landed on the shores of Normandy in the wanting to liberate Europe from the hold of the Nazis. And I remember talking to him, and he was telling me how it was when he was younger, attending churches of Christ where brethren divided, churches split on the war question. On the war question. Now, I want to tell you something right now. I believe that for the sake of unity and peace, brethren can agree to disagree. Lonnie, how dare, what are you saying? I am not advocating a corruption in doctrine. Well, if you believe sprinkling's okay for baptism and I believe it's burial, we'll get along. We can just agree to disagree. No, I'm not saying that. Well, Lonnie, wouldn't it be okay if you want to sing a cappella? What about some of us who would love to have a band here playing? I'm not advocating any such thing. I'll go on the record to say those are two examples of pure, unadulterated sin. I could not be a part of this wonderful, God-fearing congregation if somebody lugged a piano in here and wanted to play it, and we had three or four men and women standing here wanting to sing religious songs with the accompanying of the piano. Now, I don't know how all of you feel about some of these things. I may be putting a little bit of a sliver under your fingernail, but I would suggest to you, because I love you, and because I believe you love the Lord, that if you don't agree with what I am saying, then let's study God's word. Let's do as God said to those to Judah before she destroyed her, let's come and let's reason together. Let's talk these things out. Let me suggest something else that may help. There may be individuals right here in this room seated before me that believe it's okay to send a check each month to a home for unwed mothers. Guess what? I think that is a good thing that an individual Christian may choose to do, to write out and send a check to a home for an unwed mother. I believe certain things. I believe certain things. Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts. Well, I'll tell you what, things have changed. Things have changed in those areas. Girl Scouts, whatever they call themselves. Young Farmers, 4-H Club. An individual Christian wants to see these kids become good citizens. I believe that's a noble, wonderful thing. And they can support something like this as an individual Christian. There is no Bible authority, no book, chapter, or verse for the church of our Lord to be involved in such things as this. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. And I'm going to pick on my brother Mark for a moment. Brother Mark may believe it's okay to do something I don't, or vice versa. Individually, we still may feel like, well, I'm not sure it's a good idea, but I respect the fact that this is your choice or this is my choice, because it doesn't seem to be a clear-cut scripture stating it otherwise. Here's the problem that churches of Christ found themselves in the 1950s and 60s. Brethren who opposed innovations, brethren who opposed the support of human institutions and a sponsoring mother church directing the monies to different gospel preachers, here's the problem. The members who opposed those things had to do one of two things. They were forced to violate their conscience. They were forced to be a part in the collective sense, in the church sense. They were forced to be a part of something that was unscriptural, or they would what? They'd leave. They'd walk out the door and they'd find another place to worship. Brethren don't have to agree with me.
I'm not the one that is establishing authority. I'm the one that's propagating and hopefully taking delegated authority and helping us to understand it in this area. And this doesn't make me an expert on any of this. Most of you probably would agree that so much that we do falls under the realm of opinion. But I want you to know right now, the churches of Christ are in trouble today. They are in trouble today, August 7th, 2022. They're in trouble all over this great country of ours because they want to be like their religious neighbors, just like Israel. Give us a king. We had it better in Egypt. They want to be like their religious neighbors. So anything goes. Women preachers, women leading prayer. Let's dim those lights and just sway back and forth during the Lord's Supper. Let's go ahead and just make entertainment out of the communion. And let's hurry up before that clock gets to noon and get out those doors. And let's get on out there and let's just have a great old time. Because we're going to get together with every church in the whole town, regardless of what they believe, because we're all going to the same place on the same, just different ways of getting there. That's the churches of Christ in some places. Some places. Right here in this great country. But I want us to call attention now as we're looking, as if after this introduction, I wanted to establish this. We need to realize, hey, God's main concern is not that you and I find $2.50 a gallon gasoline prices. God's main concern isn't that we don't have to spend $6 for a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, perhaps more. We all know, we all are feeling that pinch. Every one of us here, some more than others. Well, you know what? I just pray to God that something can be done and that we can get rid of this person in Washington, D.C., this person in Columbus. You know what our God tells you and I to do? Right here. Pray. Pray. We live in a country that throughout the year, especially on November 2nd, we can go to the polls and we could vote. Do you realize how many countries that are on this ball of sin orbiting this sun of ours at 7,000 miles an hour? Do you realize how many countries right now, are you kidding, voting to change things? Start speaking out against what's going on in China. Go ahead and write a letter voicing your hatred and disgust, if you're a Russian citizen, to President Putin, and see what happens to you shortly thereafter. I want you to know right now, we live in a country where we can exercise our rights and vote. The Lord's Church, this is another thing. Listen to this, surprise! The Lord's Church has no business getting into politics. You will never hear me. Never hear me, and I won't put up with it from any of the other men, stand up here and start telling people who they should vote for, who they shouldn't vote for, because there's no place for that. Civil government in the Bible is what we're going to look at right now. These are the scriptures. If you can find one single scripture that says it's okay to push political activism, social reform from the pulpit, do it. You want to hear Jesus' social reform? You want to hear a statement our Lord made? The poor you will always have with you. That's a statement of social reform by the Master. We're going to look at a statement of social reform by Paul. As much as possible, trying to get along with all people. That's social reform. And Jesus, the great judgment scene. Lord, when did we see you hungry and naked? When did we see you poor and suffering and thirsty and destitute and without good clothing? And Jesus said, as often as you've done it to one of these, you've done it unto me. Well, Lord, we never saw you this and this and that. That's right, but you saw these other people. There are statements of reform right there. There are statements there of what you and I should be doing and showing compassion and doing something with our faith. Faith without works is dead. You go back and you look at that judgment scene. That's exactly what it is, a judgment scene. Too late for those people. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. I have been to countries where the ships are filled with so much food that it's rotting as it sits moored in a harbor because the political situation at the time, the government will not allow it to be dispersed amongst the poor. I have been to countries before where, man, I'll tell you, I wish I could forget some of this stuff. A mother snatching food from the hands of her child and shoving it in her own mouth. Now, any ladies, has that ever happened to you here? Has it? Has it?
I don't think so.
There's things I wish I could forget, and I actually pray about these things. Some I've been able to, some they haunt me from time to time. I've seen a lot of ugly in life, and you've seen a lot of ugly in life. We've all seen different things, things that are unique to you that I don't understand, that I'm not part of, and vice versa. But you know, the bottom line is our Lord wants us to be looking at the soul of man so that soul can hear Jesus Christ and his gospel and have a chance for heaven. Open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Peter 2:11. And let's be reminded, along with the scripture that was read this morning, let's go ahead and be reminded that we're really just passing through. 1 Peter 2:11. Peter says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Pilgrims! Never thought you'd be called a pilgrim. Not even Thanksgiving time. But that's what we are. We're pilgrims. We're on a mission. We're on a trip. We're on a journey. And we don't carry Visa cards. Here's what we should be carrying right here. This is what we should be carrying in our mind, in our heart. We're just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what shall I do? We're temporarily passing through here. Please take your outline. And let's look at the Christian is a citizen of a heavenly country. He's a citizen of a heavenly country. This truth will affect much that the Christian does as he relates to the civil authorities. Now look at now. It will bear upon issues relating to military service, holding public office, voting, jury duty, and many other matters. The following principles have some bearing upon the relationship to civil government. Don't leave here, and if you have trouble remembering, check with Scott and find out how you can play back this recording thing. You are not hearing me say that if you don't agree with anything I've said, you're in sin, that you're lost. There is room for some things to disagree with, but there are so many things that God commands us to be speaking the same thing and being in unity on. And somebody here tried to tell me that it doesn't matter if you pay taxes or not. Our Lord said you better pay taxes. Someone's trying to tell me it's okay to go ahead and go and attack and shoot and kill people and say it's in the name of self-defense. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Lord says. Listen, there are bad policemen. There are good policemen. The soldiers during Paul's day, Cornelius was the first Gentile, a soldier in the Roman legions, who heard the gospel. And I can assure you from studying history, and I would suggest you all do the same, you think Cornelius turned around and put his request in for terminal leave to ETS or retire? Brad, you know what I'm talking about, I bet you on this. No, it's not the way it worked back then. Well, Lonnie, consciously, I couldn't do that. I couldn't take human life as an agent of the civil state. Lonnie, I could not. I respect that. I will defend your right to not do that. But if you make it a test of fellowship, and some brethren do, and I'm going to probably get phone calls and things about this, and that's okay. I've taken the heat before on many a subject. Show me where I'm wrong, and I have no problem changing. I have no problem standing up before 10 million people and telling them I was wrong. But at the end of the day, some of the things that you believe and you respect, I'm going to respect and believe. I'm going to fight for your right to do those things, to defend that. That's fine. Now you start telling me, well, Lonnie, well, I just don't see why we can't have musical instruments in worship. Will you defend my right to have them? No, I'll fight you on that.
What's the difference? What's the difference? Well, I'll tell you something right now. That's a sermon. That's a study subject. There are certain things we cannot be going off in a million different directions. But certain other things, we fall into the realm of opinion. Eating meats and observing days, those are the only two things you see brought in Romans 14. My question would be, what do you do with the rest of them? Now look at here. The Christian is a citizen of a heavenly country. Jesus himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from this realm. Okay, we're going to see a conversation he has with Governor Pilate about this very same thing. The Christian is simply an alien and a stranger on earth. Okay, and he said, 1 Peter 2:11 says, just what I read, aliens and strangers, pilgrims and sojourners. Look at Hebrews 11:10. This is how you and I should be thinking about. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Talking about Abraham. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Where is that? What's the city we're all seeking to come? Heaven. Heaven. The Christian, now, this is what I want to follow the outline, follow this, but more than anything, forget the outline, forget this. Open up God's word and find out for yourself, please. And if you walk away doing some of this, which I do often, it's all right. Pray, help God, ask God to help you come to a better understanding. Some things are a little challenging. Some things are a little tough. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter said words to the effect of, you know, there are some things that our brother Paul writes and teaches that some people just have trouble understanding. Let me tell you something right now. Paul wrote some things that were tough to handle. I'm certainly not saying anything or teaching anything that's going to be tough to handle because it's already there. It's already there. And if certain things I'm saying and sharing with you, you don't agree on, that's okay. If it's a matter of doctrine, it's not okay. If it's something that's a matter of opinion, that's okay. But doctrine, that's not okay. Again, I keep going back to these basic things. Should we change the Lord's Supper to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Coca-Cola? Let me tell you something right now. This whole church wouldn't put up with, there's not one of you in here right now that wouldn't fight something like this if somebody tried to bring this innovation in. But you know what? It's happening. Churches of Christ. Now, Sam led some beautiful songs, touching our hearts. That's what God's wanting us to be able to experience in fellowship. We can all sing. We're not having our consciences violated because we believe that what we're doing here is scriptural. We believe what we're doing here is authorized by God's word. First Timothy 2, 1 and 2. First of all, this is Paul. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayer, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Look what he's telling you and I to be doing. He's saying, behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Paul's not saying, you know, pray that, you know, the loaf of bread that you need to last for 3 or 4 days so that you don't starve to death. Pray that the price of it will go down. Pray that those Roman soldiers who drive those chariots right past you and almost run over your little children when you're trying to walk them to school. You know, hey, Paul says as much as possible that we can lead a tranquil and quiet life. Well, Lonnie, that was 2,000 years ago. That was 2,000 years ago. Do you know what? There was no United States of America 2,000 years ago. Rome conquered every country she came upon until she fell from within, and we talked about that. She fell because of sexual immorality. She fell, the pagan Germanic barbarians started fighting these legions and they beat them eventually, and Rome fell. Greece fell. All right? The United States, if she doesn't change her evil ways, and I'm not singing the song the Electric Light Orchestra wrote, if this great country of ours will not change its evil ways, she'll follow. She'll follow these other countries. And I hope there's someone out there that can say an amen to that. Because I want to tell you right now, we are in trouble in this country.
But I know one thing, and you know one thing. God is listening to the prayers of the righteous. God is listening to the effectual prayers of the righteous because they can do much. I don't like what's going on in Washington, D.C., but you know what I'm going to do about it? November, I don't know if it's Mary's birthday, the 2nd November, whatever that Tuesday is in November, that first Tuesday, I'm going to be voting. That's something Paul couldn't do 2,000 years ago. In fact, Paul's experience at voting was before he became a Christian, as he was standing there observing and supervising some poor innocent woman or man being torn and stretched to death and being tortured because they were a Christian. He was giving his vote to put him to death. That's what Saul, before he became Paul, was doing. Read Acts. The Christian must pay taxes. Paul says in Romans 13, 6 and 7, pay taxes. Pay taxes. Devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Jesus himself said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Today, this is applicable. Render, listen, put those tomatoes down, listen. Render to Uncle Sam what is Uncle Sam's, and render unto God what is God's. I think what we do a lot is we really forget number three. He must pray for civil authorities. I just went back, by the way. I'm looking at number three on your chart or your outline. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands, but if I was to ask, how many of you here daily pray for the rulers of this land? What would your hand be doing right now? Would it be slowly going up, but maybe coming right back down? Would it be shooting straight up? Would it kind of be behind your back and you kind of looking for that place to kind of slink on down into the pew? We need to be praying. These men and women who are ruling this country, who are in positions of authority in this whole world, they are going to bend their knee. They are going to bend their knee before God the Father and Jesus Christ, and they will confess to their damnation that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, and it will be too late for them. And you and I will be going through the same thing. Hope to God it isn't too late for us. God will be vindicated. The time will come where people who mocked his son, spat in his face, disowned him, didn't confess him, crucified him, ashamed of his gospel, teaching error, those men and women, one day, from the very beginning of time, all the way as that scroll unfolds, it'll get to the point, sooner or later, where, you know what? That's it. It can happen in 5 minutes. It could happen in 5,000 years. Just like Mark said, we don't know. This morning in class, we don't know. But the only thing we do know about the future is it's going to happen. I don't mean future for us. I mean, when God's plan, Jesus is coming again. That's one thing we do know about the future. If he doesn't come in the next 30 seconds, I guess it is the future. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be facetious, but that's about the only thing we do know and we do understand. Number five. Now here's what you all need to remember when you leave here, and myself. The Christian must obey civil rulers. What? Unless obedience to them would involve disloyalty to God. This includes traffic laws. Lonnie, watch that heavy foot when you're coming down I-70. Driver's license. You're supposed to have one, not one that expired 25 years ago from some other state, but here. Hunting license. Well, I'm just going out and, you know, I'm just going fishing. I'm just going out to like Jethro. I'm going to go and find me a possum and shoot. Hey, that's the law. Don't make sense. Why? It's a silly law. It's a good. Well, change it. Well, how do I do that? Not with a gun. Not with burning your neighborhood's businesses down. notwithstanding up and approving what wickedness and crimes police do commit, but at the same time, those who don't, not wanting to defund them, not wanting to say, as a government official just recently did in Washington, D.C., I hate all law enforcement officers. And then she threw a fit because she didn't have enough armed security officers to escort her down the streets in Washington, D.C. Something's wrong with that picture. It's wrong when law enforcement breaks the law. They ought to be punished severely. It's wrong when the average Joe and Jane citizen in this great country of ours breaks the law. They need to be held accountable. That's the problem with so many in this country. They're not held accountable. You know what is going on around you. Look what's going on walking down a sidewalk. And you get knifed and jumped. A man here not too far away from here just a week or two ago, murdered by somebody with a machete. In the subways. Subways coming. Somebody pushes somebody right in front of a subway train. Nothing happens to them. Nothing happens to them. All these school shootings. This is a bad, bad place that we're living in. But guess what? Do you think law enforcement people are the only ones that can do anything? Do you think that the neighbors that you live across, that you have a cookout with once in a while, and that you visit, and that you trust to go get your mail when you're out of town for 2 weeks, and that you've attended all of their kids' 8th grade and 12th grade graduations, you think that's enough? You and I have the power of prayer. Are we using prayer to help change things? Oh, Lonnie, this old world is going to you-know-where in a handbasket. Well, I know who the prince of the power of the air is, but I also know two things. Satan asked permission from God and Job to go after Job. Satan asked God permission to go after Peter, the apostle, in the Gospels. I don't know if it's remotely impossible to say that Satan doesn't seek permission for him to go after you and I. But I do know what we have that they didn't have. That's the full counsel of God. And we need to be praying and we need to be defending the truth. Bible says God knows how to deliver those out of temptation that serve him. Okay? He will take care of you and I. We've got to be doing something. Instead of just yelling at the TV set, or instead of just listening to it and just, you get so worked up, you find yourself, your blood pressure, you're going to have a stroke. Pray. We don't take advantage of prayer enough, and this is one of the things we're commanded to be doing, praying. Paul says in Romans 13, 1 and 2, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Do you realize when you and I are not in subjection to the government, you know who we're bucking? You know who we're bucking up there? You know who we're really shaking our fist at? Right here. Paul says they are established by God. Let's not play with fire, if you know what I mean, brothers and sisters, visitors. Don't mess around. God is listening and he's watching and he expects you and I to submit to government. Well, Lonnie, they're just a wicked, bad government. Well, what was Rome? What was Rome? They crucified, they murdered Jesus Christ. Now, of course, they were part of God's plan, as the Jews were. But guess what? Surprising? You and I helped murder him too. Yes, we did. We helped murder him too. If you have a problem with what I just said there, let's go and sit down and look at the Bible. Last time I looked at the Bible, I was as guilty as any of those Jewish leaders and those Roman soldiers were. Because of sin. And Paul says here, therefore, in verse 2, whoever resists authority has opposed the established ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Here he says in 13:5, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of God's wrath, but also for conscience's sake. He says here in Titus 3:1, Paul says to Titus, Gentile preacher of the gospel, remind them to be in subjection to rulers, to be in subjection to authorities,
to be obedient, to be ready for what? Burning your neighbor's business down? Murdering someone and say because you have a uniform and a badge you can murder someone? Or when a law enforcement officer stops to ask you a question, you whip out a gun and you kill him? Is that what Paul's asking for here? No, he's not asking for this. The Christian is to honor and respect governmental authorities. Peter says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor Emperor Nero. Emperor Nero was going to kill Peter in a few short years. He's the one that gave the order to have Paul's head severed from his body. That very king that Peter is asking people to pray for. Now, we may laugh when somebody says, you know, President Biden, King Biden. Somebody may say, you know what? Listen, I've done some of these things. I have mocked leaders in this country because of their foolishness. That's a sin on my part. And I had to repent of that sin. And according to what I just looked at and from what the scriptures say, that I would be condemned for that if I hadn't repented. And if some of you here in this audience have nothing good to say about what is going on in Washington, D.C., be very careful what you do say. Be very careful what you're thinking in your noggin up there. God's listening. He reads minds, by the way. He knows. Can you share your concerns? Can you have a righteous anger? Can you have a righteous indignation? Can you be upset at what's going on? Absolutely, but don't sin. But what do? Well, you can vote to try to change things. You could go ahead and pray. That's a commandment. By the way, that is a commandment. I read that as a, Lonnie, you better get on your knee. You better do this, Lonnie. Well, what about, no, not later, now. Commandments. God works through civil authorities even though they are not believers and do not know of God's activity. Now, there it is right there. Now, Lonnie, you mean to tell me since the government aren't members of the Church of Christ, I've got to do what is right? Do you know there was a president of the United States, his name was James Garfield. Listen up, folks. President James Garfield was a member of what is called the Christian Church. History has it that he was an elder and he stepped down from the highest office in the land, an elder in a church, a Christian church, and he was sworn in on Inauguration Day and became a president. He was shot and killed just a few months later. Would Christians make better rulers? Yes. Sure. Would Christians be better because they've got God's interest first and foremost? Yes. It's unfortunate that few God-fearing people who are indeed New Testament Christians are in positions of authority. Now, there are many that I call God-fearing. There's many out there that believe in God, that are wanting to bring a standard of morality back. I'm going to vote for them. I'm not going to vote for someone that's wanting to destroy my innocent children in the public school system. I'm not going to vote for someone that wants to take a baby out of the mother's womb and inject saline solution into that baby and kill it. Kill it. What's wrong with our thinking? Oh, we pray that gas will go down. We pray that grocery prices will be less. Man, I want a better job. I need another vehicle. I just wish things weren't so expensive now. I got to buy another car. I'm tired of this dead-end job. Hey, those things matter not to God in the big picture. Am I saying don't pray? That you can have a better job to provide for your family? You didn't hear me say not to. Pray that you can afford to make ends meet
That's what a lot of us are doing right now, aren't we? Is praying to make ends meet? I'm not saying don't pray for those things. But to get so obsessed and wrapped up in the price of 87 octane at the Marathon station, when right downtown somewhere in Dayton, a baby's being aborted? Something's wrong with that picture. And that's okay too, you know. I've tried, Lonnie, to resist the transgender movement. I've tried to resist the gay marriage movement. Let me tell you, as long as God hasn't thrown in the towel, you and I better not throw in the towel. As long as God hasn't changed, and I'm being a little sarcastic and facetious here, His word has forever been settled in heaven. God isn't going to change His mind in the next 2 billion years if this old world was around that long. What we have here is God's final blueprint, His final message. Something wrong, folks, when we get caught up in some of these things. Let me show you. Look at my hands. I'm waving both hands. I have been caught up in these things so many times. And I'm thankful to God that I got a good woman at home that keeps me, she reminds me of these things, throws those things back up. Remember, Lonnie, what we're here for. Remember what we're doing. God's in control. Sometimes the husband's got to help remind the wives remind the husbands, the adult children, and very often these little guys, they speak some words and all of a sudden man stops us moms and dads in our tracks sometimes, don't it? They're smart. From out of the mouth of babes. And sometimes the parents need to sit down with those adult children and those little guys, of course the scriptures teach us that, sit down with them and talk with them. Talk with them. Kind of like my beloved brother Dave's prayer not too long ago. Just sit down, close those eyes, and go to God and just talk like He's right across the table and you're holding on to His hand. We need to talk to our children about these things. They see things on, they're wondering what's going on. They may even hear mom and dad talk, maybe a little too loud at times. They need to be careful. Because this whole world, if she is around tomorrow and next week and next month and next year, we're getting older, and if they live to see it, they're going to be, if you will, I don't know if the word inheriting is the correct thing, but I'll tell you something right now. This mess, if you will, that's going on right now, they're going to walk right into it unless things are better. When those men at the football game, prior to this first Bengals game, those coaches and those players, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not mocking them. Please don't think so. These men, these coaches, these players that hold hands and pray, God, help us win this game. Do you think for one moment God is interested in who wins this first Bengals game? God is interested in the souls of those football players. Because if they haven't put on their Jesus, if they haven't put on their Lord in baptism, those football players that we love and idolize, and we don't have a problem that they're making $200 million a year, let me tell you right now, that money, it's not going to buy them a, they ain't going to heaven with that money.
Number 8. God uses the civil authorities to maintain law and order in society. He uses them to punish evildoers and carry out His vengeance on them. Do you know that the death penalty,
and this is a political hot issue. I've known a lot of Christians that are not for the death penalty. Do you know that our God in heaven, we've been talking about Him the last 45 minutes, you know our God in heaven ordained the death penalty? Read Romans 13. Do you know all the way back, in fact, let's go ahead and look there. Why talk about it? Let's go ahead and look. Go back. Open your Bible, please. This is one scripture I don't have listed on my chart. Go all the way back. We're going to go back in time, thousands and thousands of years ago. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 9 for a moment. Genesis 9. This is after the ark has found a resting place. And God says here,
in verse number 6. Everybody have Genesis 9, verse number 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. All the way back to the Noahic covenant. The covenant of Noah established. Thousands of years before Jesus left heaven and came to earth. Perhaps a couple of thousand years, maybe, or longer before the Israelite government. Probably longer. But God says here, the ark sitting on top of Ararat, the animals are out. And he's reinstituting the very thing that should have been happening before the floods. We talked last week about these wicked, terrible leaders, these giants, physical giants, but also very arrogant and prideful and militaristic and militant. Men who ruled, who were wicked. The sons of God saw the daughters of men and took them for their wives. And all of a sudden you had that beautiful Seth line, the sons of God. And you had those evil women from the line of Cain, intermarried, problems there. Boom, 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 boom. And look what happened. God says, you know what? I'm sorry I made man. I'm gonna destroy him. But right now, look at Genesis 9, thousands of years ago. There is biblical proof the death penalty existed then. Now, Romans 13. Acts 25, 11. Actually, I do have this scripture there. I'm sorry about that. I missed that. Acts 25, 11. Now, I want you to look at this verse for a moment. This verse has caused undue challenges for some. Acts 25, 11, Paul says he's in front of the Jewish high court. He's in front of the Supreme Court, not the United States, but the Sanhedrin. And he says here, if I'm a wrongdoer and I've committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of these things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Here, Paul is saying, if I've done something that I deserve to be killed as a Roman citizen, I'm not going to fight that. Put me to death. But if I'm innocent and I've broken no laws and I haven't, I appeal to Caesar. I appeal to Caesar. That's what Paul said here. Out of this one verse, you have both sides. You have the death penalty. Paul the Apostle, perhaps the greatest mortal man that ever lived, wrote most of the New Testament. He said, look, if I deserve to die, kill me. But over here he says, but you know what? If I haven't, get your hands off me. I want to go ahead and bring in the civil authorities. I'm going to go to Rome. I want to see Caesar. I want to stand before his high court. And by the way, he did. He did. He might have gotten a short reprieve, possibly. But in 2 Timothy, we read that his time was coming to an end. The civil authorities should commend the Christian who does what is right. Does that mean that we all should be getting a letter from Washington, D.C., from the government telling us that you and I have been really good and that, you know, they appreciate it? That's not what that's talking about. Look what Paul says in Romans 13, 3 and 4. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of the government or authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. Now here it is. Criminals out there. This is what they should be hearing. But when you have district attorneys slapping their wrists and they're out on the street 24 hours or less after they've murdered someone, here's what Paul says. But if you do what is evil, criminal, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. This is civil government. The sword means the death penalty here. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the ones who practice evil. One big reason God established government was for social order. That means laws need to be obeyed. You know what Rome would do often? Alexander the Great would do this. When Alexander the Great brought his Greek Macedonian military flanks, legions into these countries, he'd let them do their own thing as long as two things happened. They paid taxes and they weren't seditious. They didn't stir up the government against Alexander and the Greek government.
They could go ahead and have their own religion. They could do their own cultural thing. Just behave yourselves. And by the way, each April 15th, I want to see your tax money. Same with Rome. Rome would do the same thing. All right? Rome did the same thing. Some of us don't realize how tough it was. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, turn the other cheek. Some of that's a concept of what could happen by being slapped by a Roman soldier. Not the entire context of this. And if someone says, I want you to carry my cloak 1 mile, carry it two. Now, we know the story behind that. But I'll tell you what, when a Roman soldier came up to you 2,000 years ago, and he knocked on the door of your house, and he was doing you a favor by the way of knocking, and he said, I'm hungry, I want wine and I want a loaf of bread and cheese, you better bring him in and you better feed him. That was what it was like back then. And what is Paul saying? Pray that those dirty, rotten Romans would just, the earth would open up and swallow them. That those zealots would take out their little knives and go around and assassinate. That's the zealots. One of them became a disciple of Jesus. The Sicarii, the dagger men. We just really don't understand what's going on then. And Paul amongst all this, Paul's in prison. And he's saying, behave yourselves. Pray. Live a peaceful, quiet life. That's the main thing. Yes, I'm going to go home and pray that our economy will get better. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray that somehow some of these things that are happening in this country will go away. But there's no way I'm going to be involved in anarchy. I'm not going to be burning no American flag. And I don't want to catch anybody, as long as I got life in my body, doing that. I'm not going to come up to the returning military and spit in their face, like some of my older cousins when they returned from Vietnam had to deal with. And there's men in this room right now, and my oldest son Ethan is not here, and some of the horrors that he was exposed to as just a kid right out of high school is with him for the rest of his life. Now what I mean by that is simply managing it. Please keep him in your prayers. You don't see him here today. I know Brad, myself, others who have served their country and seen this flag whip around in the wind and probably brought tears down our eyes into our cheeks. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't be praying for this country? Does that mean that this is a great, beautiful Christian nation like Israel of old? Israel of old had a king, and over here Israel of old had a high priest. Remember what happened to the king who wanted to burn incense, who wanted to become a part-time high priest? What happened to him? God smote him with leprosy. And remember also, God telling Samuel, you know, Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. They want a king, I'll give them a king. And it won't be long until they regret it. And that was the beginning of Israel's woes. Captivity after captivity after captivity. And finally, the lesson will be yours. This is the most important part for you and I. Please don't leave here without writing these down. If you don't have an outline, if you have an outline, underscore them. The Christian is not, absolutely never, render absolute submission to governing authorities if it is going to be in conflict with God. God and His government comes first. If you and I have to stand up to the government and say, I cannot do this, I will not do this, why? Because it is a violation of my relationship with God. Because what? As Peter says, you must obey God rather than man. Don't just go in blindly and support civil government. You need to be aware of what's going on here. The Christian must submit to God. All right? Jesus has all authority. Look what he says here. Look what Jesus said. Hours away from being, just hours away from dying, he says to Governor Pilate, you would have no authority over me, Governor Pilate, unless it had been given to you from above. For For this reason, he who delivered me to you has a greater sin. Pilate says, you know what? You know what, Jesus of Nazareth? Don't you understand I have the power to kill you and I have the power to release you? And Jesus is standing there, beaten, bloody, and he says, you have no power unless it had been given, not given to you from God. And remember what he said to Pilate a little bit earlier? If my kingdom was in this world, my subjects would be fighting to keep you from keeping me. They would fight against you. My kingdom is not of this world. And that started bothering Pilate. And if you read the account of Jesus' trial in John, you will see Pilate was a troubled man. Pilate went in and out 3 times, maybe 4 times, in and out of the praetorium, back and forth. Now those Jews standing over here, they wouldn't go into the praetorium because you know what? They would become unclean. Can you imagine such hypocrisy? They're fixing to kill God's son, but they're concerned about becoming unclean by going into that Gentile government building. But you know what Pilate did now? When Pilate sat down in the judgment seat, that was it. I was reading an account one time of how a trial would go, and a government official who had power, like Governor Pilate, like Governor Festus, like Governor Felix in Acts, when Pilate said, I can release you, I have the power to let you go, of course Jesus turns around and says, you have no power, Pilate, unless it was given to you by God in heaven. Once Pilate sits down in the judgment seat and passes sentence, it's a done deal. That's Caesar talking. Now we know, well, Lonnie, all of this had to happen because this was all God's plan. Yes. But you know what you and I need to be doing? Let's look at some of these scriptures and we're going to close here. The last two scriptures and the lesson is yours. Acts 5:29. You should have it right here on your sheet. Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. But let's go to Acts 4:19-20. Acts 4:19-20. Acts 4:19-20. Brother Dave Blackmore, do you have that scripture, sir? Acts 4:19-20. Acts 4:19-20. Everybody turn to Acts 4:19-20. Acts 4:19-20. Dave, when you have that, would you please read it, sir, to the church?
But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard.
That's what you and I need to be doing. We need to echo that. Well, what do you mean, Lonnie? Well, you know what, church in Inglewood? We don't want you coming into this building. We don't want you meeting together anywhere until you hear back from us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do if we're told certain things? Now, when I was a young soldier in South Korea my first time, I was stationed on the DMZ separating Communist North Korea from Republic of South Korea. At 6 o'clock at night, after the prime minister was assassinated, for almost 6 months straight, 6 o'clock at night, no one was allowed on the streets of South Korea, in any city, Seoul, one of the biggest cities in the world, no one could be on those streets past 6 o'clock at night except the United States military, the South Korean military, and the South Korean police force. And they would shoot to kill if you were out on the street, man, woman, or child. That's how serious martial law lockdown is back in those days. And I can remember driving at night, just hoping and praying, man, I hope that we're not going to, pulling up to those checkpoints, and you can hear that bolt on that 50 caliber machine gun lock in the back. Brad knows what I'm talking about. He knows what a 50 sounds like. You can hear that thing click and lock, and you just knew that South Korean soldier, here I am driving a Jeep. I'm okay now. I'm allowed to be out there. But I'll tell you something right now, I'm just glad that he understood enough English and that he was able to look at my papers to keep from, blowing me in half. Some of those things. Crazy. We live in this type of world. But at the end of the day, what is our main objective? Leave here today putting God first. Leave here today praying for your rulers. I don't like what is going on in the capital city of this great nation. But you know what? God doesn't like it either. But God's more concerned about those men and women's souls than he is the price of gas. Does anybody not understand that? And I don't mean to sound insulting to your intelligence, but sometimes we'll be talking about this. But Lonnie, what about this or that? Listen, my wallet is thinner, and I'm sure your wallet and purse is thinner too. It's lighter. Sure it is. Bank account numbers may be doing one of these. But you know what should be doing this? Should be this right here. Those are what should be going up at a time like this. If you're not a Christian, right now, you need to do something about your soul. And I apologize, first of all, for this lengthy lesson. There's a lot of material, and I only scratched the surface on a couple of these things. I wish I could add more time, perhaps, down the road. But if you're not a Christian right now, you need to do something about that. You need to align yourself up with the government of God. Your king needs to be Jesus Christ. Your Lord and Savior needs to be Jesus Christ. And the only way that happens is not by voting on election day, but by humbly submitting to the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The eunuch to Philip, here lies a bunch of water. What hinders me to be baptized? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, you may. And he confessed that before Philip, and he was immersed for the remission of his sins. And John echoes in Revelation and elsewhere, remain faithful unto life, through life, and you shall receive crown of life. Be faithful unto the end. And if you are a Christian here right now, and things have gotten out of hand in your life, and they've gotten out of hand in all of our lives, there's not one here now who is of accountability before God that can just go ahead and sit back like this and just look around at everybody else, not having struggled with something in their life. It happens. Okay, from time to time it happens. But if there's sin in your life and there's not been repentance, that's the commandment for you and I. Repent. Confess your sin. Ask for the prayers of the church. And if you just want to work at being better citizens, sure, go out on election day if you want to help change things. That's the legal way this country has. Guess what? They're not doing it in China this November, and they're not doing it in Russia this November. But you know what? Be a better citizen for Jesus Christ. That's where our citizenship is, as was read in Philippians 3 this morning. Our citizenship is in heaven. Be a better subject and a servant to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're subject to the invitation at this time, Sam's going to lead us in a song. Please come forward. We stand and sing.